Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. This has been a big week. I would not call it a crazy week this week, but a big week. We have Greece. We have Iran. Major issues, major impacts on the world, both of these events. And I'm going to get to them tonight. We've been bombarded, you and I, with television, the radio, about Iran and Greece for the last several days. And they both are very important issues. However, I want to start with another issue that's been eating at me, gnawing at me for a long time. And I believe it's something that is on your minds, or most of your minds, the last several years. I call it, we lost our way. We lost our way. I'm speaking of us as a people, the American people, that somewhere along the line in the last 20, 30 years, we no longer are what we used to be. Our values have changed. Our moral compass has changed. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but again, our values have changed. We are in a downward spiral, as I see it. Now, We Lost Our Way happens to be the title of my column in this week's Conk Life, which publishes tomorrow. It's detailed in the newspaper column. However, I wanted to briefly hit on it tonight with you because sometimes some things have to be said, and I guess like I feel I'm on my soapbox tonight. So please excuse me, bear with me, but here are examples of what has occurred over the years that I believe are perfect examples to indicate, to show that we as a people have lost our way. Let's start with policemen and blacks. And as you know, it's police killing blacks. We've been hearing about this the last several years. But it's really more than that. It's police against citizens. White or black, purple, yellow, or green. Color doesn't make any difference. What it is, police have been sworn to protect the people, protect the public. That is the job of a police officer. What's happened now, and this is an example of how we've lost our way, the police are not concerned now primarily with protecting you and me, protecting the people. Their first concern is their safety, as they say it. Their safety, not those that they were hired to and swore to protect. Which brings me now to another form of, I don't know how to describe it, but it involves a police officer. And this happened just 10 days ago in Tampa, Florida. There was a detective. He was in an unmarked police vehicle, received a call on the radio, robbery going on such and such a place. So he took off for it. No siren or anything, just took off to go to the robbery. Along the way, he hit a pedestrian. He decapitated the pedestrian. He hit him, I don't know how, which way, but he took the guy's head off. I mean, this is shades of ISIS over there. He decapitated the pedestrian. He wasn't doing anything wrong, walking in the wrong place. I don't know what happened, but it happened. He decapitated this 60-year-old World War II, war veteran rather, father, grandfather, decapitated him, and did not stop. He kept going, nor did he report it to his superiors. Well, a couple of people saw the accident, but they weren't sure it was a Chevrolet or a Ford or what have you. But eventually the police department put it together, and just 2 days ago, this is like 8 days after the accident or something, the police officers investigating this decapitation were able to take the blood of the dead man and tie it in to blood spots on the fender of the detective's car. Now, if that was you or me, we'd be in jail right now, all right? Nine. You leave the scene of an accident. You don't report it to anyone. You killed the guy, all right? There's manslaughter right there. But the police officer, the detective's only been, he's on administrative leave. They say they are investigating this matter thoroughly. Understand again, you or me, we go to jail. But police officers now get priority. They're better taken care of. They are special people when it comes to an investigation. And what bothers me is that we have a whitewashing of wrongdoing on a consistent basis with police officers. They do something wrong. You've seen it with these black shootings all over the country. Very few of them, till recently, have ended up in arrests or indictments. They got whitewashed. They were investigated forever, ad infinitum, and then the conclusion is by the prosecutor or whoever's involved, nothing wrong. The policeman did what he was supposed to do. This was not irresponsible or wrong on his part, not criminal. They whitewash. And I got this feeling on this decapitation. You can't take a long time like this. You must arrest somebody. Because, again, if it was you or me, we'd be sitting in jail right away when they matched up those blood droplets, okay? That's another example of how we've lost our way. Not only is the police department screwed up, but those who employ them, empower them, they're screwed up too. They all forget. We pay their salaries. They're there to help us. They are there to protect us. They whitewash. Now, let's go to the Secret Service and other federal-type officials. This I find hard to understand. These are the gentlemen who are sworn to protect our president, amongst other things. What have you read about this past year? Several parties were Secret Service officers were being entertained by prostitutes. Yeah, you've read about us, nothing new. And generally, the prostitutes were paid for by drug cartels. These Secret Service and other high-ranking federal officials were the guests of drug cartels who provided them with not only alcohol, provided them with prostitutes. Then comes the FBI. Now, let me say this. The FBI is the best of the best. They're so well-trained, so highly trained. They know it, too. These guys walk, you know, they walk tall. They know they're good, and we want them to be good. But there's even a recent screw-up with the FBI, who's supposed to be as close to perfect as any group can be. The shootings in the last, about a month ago in Charleston, South Carolina, in church, 9 black people doing a Bible class, shot to death by a white 21-year-old male. Okay? Now, the FBI screwed up in this situation. It isn't a bad screw-up, but it shows not everyone is doing their job the way they're supposed to do it. When there is, this young fellow, this 21-year-old, had to apply for a permit to buy the gun. All right. That puts him automatically into a system that requires an FBI check. The FBI check was made through some type of inadvertence. The one doing the check at the FBI end didn't check every place, because had this person, what they would have found, she would have found, the person doing the check, that this 21-year-old white male had a drug record. And if you have a drug record, you don't get a pistol permit. Very simple. But she missed it. And when she missed it, he got the gun, the same gun that killed 9 people. Which now brings me to court decisions, especially decisions by the United States Supreme Court. I'm a retired lawyer. I practiced law big time for 46 years. The courts are not what they used to be. The courts were out there to protect people, too. Now they're screwed up, especially the Supreme Court of the United States. Truth, they did render 2 big decisions a couple of weeks ago, and so be it what they did. But their decisions are bad, and they go from bad to worse. And the worst of the worst was the Citizens United decision, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, where the Supreme Court said, corporations are people, and if they are people, they have a right to speak out. It's freedom of speech. They have a right to freedom of speech with regard to elections, and the only way they can speak is with contributions. So all of a sudden, corporations that we had fought with legislation for years to keep them from pouring big money into elections are now permitted to give as much money as they want to political candidates. And you know what they're doing. They're giving it in the millions of dollars. It's hard to believe. Your $5, $10, $25 contribution, $1,000 maybe, is meaningless today. The candidates don't need you. They just need some of the big hitters. And it's gotten big. The projections are this presidential election in 2016, each side's going to spend $1 billion. Never before in the history of this country has that kind of money been spent. And it will be there. And it will be there because of these rich pockets, okay, that are now permitted because of a lousy Supreme Court decision to contribute this type of money. Right? So the and people lose respect for the law when they get hit with decisions like this. What about these computer hackings you're reading about? All right. Again, they've become a way of life here. We've come to accept computer hackings, especially major ones. The government and corporations are having their records hacked big time. And about what? What was it? 2 months ago, we were told that government records regarding government personnel who had applied for special security approval had been hacked. 4 million of them. All the information the federal government had on these people after a detailed investigation had been hacked. Just last week, we're told that 4 million number wasn't correct. It's really 21 million. This is your country. 20 million, 21 million people. Somebody screwed up in government, got their records hacked. And then corporations are hacked all the time, big time. Now, why is this happening? It's happening because the corporations and government are not spending the money necessary to keep the security systems up to date to protect everyone involved. The government isn't doing it because Congress is not appropriating the money for it. They're spending money every place, but they forgot about security. Something can always be cut, and security's been cut by your Congress and mine from the budget every year. Right? And then corporations, it's the same thing again. You have to remember that security is an expense. New security systems, updating them for corporations, would run into the millions of dollars. So too with the United States government. And if they update in a corporation, that takes from the bottom line, from the profit. And the people running these companies, the corporate hierarchy, their annual bonus is measured, is determined by the size of the profit. The bigger the profit, the more they get. And a lot of these guys today are getting million-dollar-plus bonuses. Some are getting bonuses in excess of $100 million. So why spend $15 million this year, or $20 million, or $50 million to upgrade a security system? It's going to take money out of my pocket. People aren't doing their jobs, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's an example of how things have changed. Let's talk about hatred now. Hatred and bad blood. It permeates our society. You know, we used to be a country where people could differ intellectually, philosophically, especially elected officials, Republicans and Democrats. They can fight on the floor of Congress or in their state legislatures by day. But in the evening, they had a drink together after work, maybe played a little poker together. Now they don't even talk to each other. They don't have dinner at each other's houses. They don't attend each other's parties. There is a built-in hatred between Democrats and Republicans. It's terrible. Now, time. Wars. We used to fight wars to win them. We used to fight wars to win them. We don't fight wars anymore to win them. We fight to maintain the status quo. What the hell are we spending all this money for? All these American lives. Why? When we're not out there to win the war. And these wars are 10 and 12 years. I don't have to tell you. You know it. Something's wrong when we don't. If we're the biggest military power in the world, we are the strongest, then let's go beat the hell out of somebody we go fight. It's been a long time since we actually won a war. Let's talk about God and God and politics now. I'm into this. These are the things that have caused our country to start falling apart. This is how we've gotten off track by all these little things. These are examples. God's in politics too much. Example, Priests and ministers should preach in church from the pulpit and tell us what's right and wrong and what we should do. All right? What's happened now in the last 20 years? In the media, you see priests, you see ministers, and they're out there and they're talking about things like the egg attached to the woman's uterus wall, or if we're going to permit this type of abortion, which we don't agree with, but we got to use this kind of an instrument prior to the abortion and put it up a woman's vagina. Let me say this. What we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to be, is in the good book. I'm a Catholic. Jesus spoke. It's written down in the Bible. Everyone has it. The Muslims have the Quran. The Jews have their own publication, in effect. But what it is it's a good book. And the good book doesn't talk about whether the egg attached to the wall of some woman, whether the cells from a dead fetus can be used for experimentation, which everyone believes would help recreate arms and legs for people. It doesn't talk about those things. If it did, it would be there if God wanted us to look at things that way. It isn't. And, you know, it's like the Supreme Court of the United States. You have Justice Alito and you have Justice Scalia. And they both interpret all – nobody did this before Scalia, by the way. No justice of the United States Supreme Court. They interpret the United States Constitution as it was written back in 1780 or whatever the year was. That's how they interpret it. And how the hell can you interpret something because things that are happening today didn't happen back then, but yet they strain and use it, all right? And it's the same thing here. Our ministers and our priests have become TV stars, as far as I'm concerned. They like to be heard. They like to be read. And I'm saying they belong in church. They belong in the pulpit. That's where they do their duty. And then they sit back and they complain, my churches are empty. Their churches are empty because they're preaching stuff that no one buys anymore. They can't believe that's God's word. Let's talk about unions. Many will disagree with me on this point, I'm sure. Excuse me. I believe unions are a necessary ingredient to protect workers' rights. An employer cannot be trusted to look after employee rights. The employer's concerned with profitability, the bottom line. Why the hell should he give a bigger raise to his employees? Why should he give them a raise? Why should he provide other benefits? All right, see where I'm going? Because they don't think about it. They don't care, okay? They don't care. And so you have to have unions. Now, unions did get too big for their britches. They grew and grew, and with President Reagan, he started taking the unions down, and it was properly so. They got too powerful. The pendulum had swung too far, and with the air controllers, when he put the group that struck out of business, in effect. But the pendulum swung the other way. Now, the unions are very small in this country. They really are not a major voice. And employers dictate. And what bothers me is all these employees who think the corporation's going to take care of them. Excuse me, my friends. Bullshit. They don't care about their employees generally. And the only way you're going to benefit, we've got to have the unions get strong again so we have that balance between labor and management. Let's talk about taxes. This amazes me. All we've been hearing for several months, the Greeks don't pay their taxes. Well, we don't pay our taxes. Look at the United States problem, which is bigger than the Greek problem when it comes to not paying taxes. Trillions of dollars in profit from American corporations and American rich sits in offshore accounts so that the corporations and the very rich cannot be taxed on that money. What bothers the hell out of me is this is perfectly legal because along the way, Congresses who are owned by corporations, the lobbyists, etc., and the lobbyists for the rich, they have passed laws permitting this. And presidents have signed these laws, which galls me and bothers me also. But my point is, we got trillions of dollars sitting in offshore accounts untaxed, trillions. That's a lot of money. I can't even see how many zeros are involved. And the rich and the corporations are not paying their fair share of taxes in this country. And we talk about the Greeks. Now, let's talk about God again. The United States is supposed to be a God-fearing nation. I mean, from my earliest days, it's all I heard. We are a God-fearing people. And we were back then. We were our brother's keeper. I think everyone believed this. We were our brother's keeper. No more, though. No more. The Republicans talk we are our brother's keeper, but they're really not. Because what do they want to do all the time? They want to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. The same party that generally represents the major corporations and the very rich who are putting money in offshore accounts so they don't have to pay taxes. I don't understand. Now, I could go on. There's a lot of examples. I've just shared a few with you. There's more in my article, and it's better developed. But I wanted to share this with you tonight because we are losing our way. And this has to stop. There is an American way, or there was an American way, and we've got to bring it back. It's a spirit. It's an understanding. It is a feeling. The problem, as I see it, is this. We see what we want to see. We do not see what is. We see what we want to see. We do not see what is. So much for how we're losing our way. Now I want to briefly get into Greece. What a week it's been for Greece. Okay, they had a vote a week ago Sunday. 61% of the people said no to whatever the Euro Union wanted. New austerity, cut pensions, and all this. 1 week later, the Greek government capitulated and agreed to whatever the Euro Union wanted, violating the 61% vote also, and agreed to terms more stringent than when they started this negotiation. I can tell you right now, the Greek Prime Minister Tsipras, his days are numbered. I mean, he ran saying, we're not going to put up with this austerity anymore or anything. We're going to stand up to these other nations. And he capitulated. The Greek people have to be pissed. That's the only way to put it. And they are, because I'm going to tell you, there's immediate reactions here. Number one, Parliament. The Greek Parliament has to vote on this. They vote tomorrow, Wednesday, on whether they're going to approve this deal. I don't think they are, because this is coalition government. It's not like we have in the United States. No one party, there's a lot of parties, has enough votes to control their parliament, their Congress. So they have to make a deal with another party or several parties. Here, this party was to the far left, Tsipras' party, and they were only three votes short of control. So a little party known as the Independent Greeks, three votes is all they had, but that's all they needed, the far left, they join with them. And right now, because if this comes up for a vote and fails, he's out. This prime minister's out, in effect. They're getting cold feet. They don't want to go for it. Tonight, the vote is tomorrow. Tonight, there is a major protest in Parliament Square, the square I've been to, the square I attended three different protests at 3 years ago. It was fun. These people don't get violent. They just yell and scream. And they yell and scream at, you know, government and what's happening to them. But nobody hits anybody. And tomorrow also, every union in Greece has called for a 24-hour strike. The bus drivers, the cab drivers, the store workers, the nurses, whatever. Who's ever in a union, everyone strikes tomorrow for 24 hours. We'll see what happens. What's going to happen now? What is going to happen now after all this fall, after the next 3 or 4 days? Here's what I see. Greece, through its present prime minister, has agreed now to this new austerity program, et cetera, that the Euro Union wants. Greece can't pay all the money they owe. It is economically, physically, and in every way, other way, impossible for them to pay this debt if it took them the rest of their lives. I'm serious. All the economists say this thing can never be paid. It's out of hand, okay? And I believe that Greece, in the next 2 to 5 years, if they stay in the Euro Union, will fail again. They're going to have this problem. because the scenario is going to go on. It's been going on, and they will walk out of the Euro Union, which is something they should do now, because that would shake the hell out of the Euro Union. There would be a recession in Europe. Recessions aren't good, but it would put everybody back in the place they should be. Germany's been very heavy-handed here, okay? And they should get their asses kicked in, because they're the ones who are really screwing up this whole thing. Now, if that doesn't happen, here's what's going to happen. I said 3 years ago on the show, I said it on my television talk show, I wrote about this. I was in Greece. I saw it. They have a neo-Nazi party. They have a for real Nazi party, the brown shirts, the black shirts, beating people up on the street. They're against Jews, but they're against immigrants. That's where they put the swastika on the windows of stores run by immigrants, et cetera, et cetera. They're the third largest party in Greece. They only have 7 votes, but that makes them the third largest party. I have a feeling that the Greek people in the next election, I could be wrong, who went to the far left the last time in January, will go to the far right now and elect the neo-Nazi party in Greece, which is known as the Golden Dawn. Now, what bothers me about this is when people are in a position of extremeness, they're broke. When they have financial problems, they can't eat properly, they can't educate their kids. They're on the street corner selling apples. You know, they're looking through garbage for food. This was Nazi Germany leading up to the early 1930s. And what happens when this happens? The people look to anyone to help them. Anyone can be their savior. And who was the savior when the economy went crazy in Germany after World War I? The savior in the early 1930s was Hitler. And I believe that this neo-Nazi party stands a good shot of taking over in the next election, which is going to happen in the next couple of months, and they're going to be in power. Maybe they'll do a better job initially. Hitler did a better job initially for the German people. Let's go to Iran now. They made the deal. It was announced this morning. Iran, the United States, and the several other countries who are involved. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm going to speak out. I am not comfortable, and I'm not comfortable because I do not trust Middle East countries. I don't trust the Middle Eastern people. I don't trust the Middle East. Historically, in the old days, in the new days, they just aren't trustworthy. They say one thing and do another. They're just not straight, okay? They cannot be trusted. I don't believe a word they say. I don't care if they put it in writing or not. They will not, in my opinion, stand up to it. Let me tell you what my experience has been with people from the Middle East over the years. They'll come up to you, very warm and smiling, and put their arm around you, okay? And with their other hand, put it in your back pocket and take your wallet. We don't do business like that. They're going to do business with us like that, and I think we are going to get hurt for that reason. I say thank God Israel's pissed off, because at least if they do get into this nuclear thing, Israel's going to bomb the hell out of them, so we really won't have to do anything initially. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? That's the show for this week. I can get into other things, but I've hit what I wanted to as the major items. I am sure not all of you agree with everything I've said, but some of the things I've said have to be said. We've got to stop sitting back and just taking these blows. We've got to start taking back our government, in effect. Bernie Sanders says it right, you know. He doesn't pussyfoot around. He's saying, you know, things are bad, and we got to start taking control and do this, this, and this. We're getting beat up by the corporations. We're getting beat up by the politicians owned by the corporations. Anyhow, I'm glad you joined me this week. Many of you listen to the show, and it's archived on Blog Talk Radio and on YouTube. And as you know, this show is linked to my Key West Lou website, and you can find it there. Key West Lou website, it is linked. I wrote a book, The World Upside Down, about a year and a half ago. It's still selling, amazingly. Not big, but it sells. If you enjoy the show, buy my book and read it. Not because I want to make 39 cents per volume, but because It's interesting reading if you like the show. If you don't like the show, don't buy the book. You will not enjoy it. Thank you again for joining me. I look forward to being with you again next week.